The following is episode 3 of the Magpies and the Phoenix podcast, brought to you by me, Dimitri Old. Episode 3, titled, You Don't Even Know Me. Hi everyone, it's time to talk about the last week's action in the non-league football world and my non-league football world. So give you an upcoming feel for what's on this podcast. First of all, be the South West Peninsula League. Putting this up front is dedicated to Mr. Legg of Phoenix Sports, who told me he listened to the podcast last week and then switched it off for the South West Peninsula. So this will mean he'll have to listen for longer or fast forward. We've got two games from Holsworthy over the weekend. Ryan Hall has given me a bit of feedback on Twitter from them, so I'll update you on those. I then look back at the weekend's action with Phoenix Sports' visit to Oxy Jets in the FA Cup. Some reactions from me and what it was like to see a game in this competition at this stage, because bearing in mind I'd never seen a game before the first round before. And some details on the day I had with the team and the staff and the supporters. First time I've ever been on a coach to a football match away from home. Then there's a trip down FA Cup memory lane and recalling a match where a 1-0 half-time lead was not the best position to be in, and the game that still scars me to this day. I'll then be looking forward to my game this weekend that I'm going to, the meeting of Wellington and Phoenix Sports, and some other scaffold information and reports and so on and so forth. I'm looking forward to a couple of games there that are being played this weekend, which may have an impact at the end of the season. Don't they all? The Isthmian South East kicks off this Saturday, and I'll be going through what Paper Mills are doing. Cray Valley Paper Mills are ideally my favourite team in the division now that Phoenix have been relegated, and any other observations. And also the Isthmian Premier starts, and that's the teams I really keep an eye on there are Cray Wanderers and Horsham for my good friend Lee, who is a Horsham fan and got me into his non-league stuff. And then there's a bit more about some midweek fixtures next week. So how much I'm going to cram in and how long this is going to be, heaven only knows. But I have scripted it, so hopefully this should be quite smooth. Anyway, so let's start with the South West Peninsula League, which kicked off last weekend. Some Friday night fixtures. But Holsworthy kicked their campaign off on Saturday with a 1-0 defeat at Dartmouth. They were sort of relatively in the mid-table. Well, they're both mid-table teams last year. So not an unexpected result, but also not the result obviously that I and the team would be looking for. Not in that order either. I'm not that egotistical. Holsworthy have lost a few key players from last year, and so this is really a bedding in process and to see what was happening. They didn't play well, according to Ryan. He said he was really disappointed. They didn't get going at all. They really struggled to get any tempo into the game. It was blisteringly hot, so it limited them to very little clear-cut chances, but equally they didn't create too much of their own. They had a good spell, not just before half-time, which probably came too soon for us, and then the second half didn't get going at all. They scored an absolute worldie. It makes a change to someone to say that, and rather say it's a bad goal to give away. I used to really hate that. Steve Bruce especially was one of those who did that. But anyway, he thought Dartmouth definitely shaded it, to be honest. The new lads are all very different players, so they're really going to have to take time to adapt to how we played before. There was a really good team spirit at the club, and I'm sure that will be re-injected into it this year. They can't rely on out-and-out pace to make something. They have to be a bit more cute about it and so on. So, Ryan, pretty disappointed, but they did bounce back last night with a 1-0 win at home to Plymouth Marjon. And the change in attitude and approach from the report back from Ryan is pretty stark. He said that Holsworthy played really well. The goal was disputed between Gavin Carter and Jay Thomas. They can sort that out between themselves. I don't know. I live 230 miles away. They can tell me what happened. Ryan's view was the team played really well, but just didn't take their chances. They created many, many chances. Really pleased with the way they did it. And from my eyes here, he seemed a bit concerned that they missed those chances, but I think it was a bit of an issue with Holsworthy sometimes last year as well. But importantly, a win is a win. 3 points, getting them underway. All those tired old cliches that you hear in football. But yeah, really important to bounce back. Elsewhere in the division, Oakhampton have got off to a good start with 2 wins. I think they'll be right up there this year. Brixham, who I think will also be up there with them this year, had a very, very good win in the FA Cup, beating a team two levels above them. I think it was away from home as well at Tavistock on Saturday. They opened up their campaign last night with a 4-0 win. There were actually 3 other 4-0 wins last night. The only one game that was played last night in that Premier League East that didn't finish 4-0, of course, was Holsworthy's. This weekend, Holsworthy go to Teignmouth, who are new in the SWP League. They started off with a 3-2 win at Crediton, but I don't think they played this midweek. I couldn't see their fixture. And then next week, Holsworthy in midweek again are on the road to the brilliantly named Elburton Villa. So we'll have a fair bit to report back, hopefully, next week. Staying down in Devon, in the Southern League South, Biddeford kicked off their season this weekend in that division with a game against Hanworthy United at the stadium in beautiful Biddeford. Good luck to the Robins. They're the first team I ever saw in the flesh in non-league. They were the team I said last time out, the team I first sort of got my teeth into. Good luck to the Robins. Also play Bristol Manor Farm away on Tuesday as well, so they've got two league games. They won their first round, extra preliminary round cup tie last week against Bridgewater. They will now be playing Poulton Rovers, coincidentally the team that I saw them play in the first game I watched for Biddeford when they lost 2-0. But they play Poulton Rovers away next week in the FA Cup. I've got to say that their opening fixture against Hanworthy, a very dodgy looking team. They've got Hammers on their badge. It's claret and blue, and they call themselves the Hammers. It's a West Ham tribute band. Not quite sure I like all that. As you probably know, I'm a Millwall fan. Anyway, that's the South West wrapped up for now. And we move down to Phoenix Sports and the FA Cup. So talking about being surrounded by West Ham, there's a lot of West Ham fans at Phoenix Sports. So we went off to North West London last weekend for the FA Cup tie. It was a great day out at Oxy Jets, and I've got to give a shout out to the club, Oxy especially, for their great hospitality. They were just a really nice bunch of people, especially the bar staff, who opened up early for us. We got there at 12:30 for the game, making sure we didn't get stuck in traffic on the M25. You can find the full report on the 7 and 7/8 too. I hope it resonated. It seemed to quite a few people read it. So some of the key takeaways about the game. I mean, I eulogise about non-league football, but this was almost for me an anti-climax. It's quite strange, actually. I thought I was going to be really, really excited about it, but it didn't feel... It just felt like a normal game to me, in a nice way. You know, I don't want to get massively up for everything. It felt just like a regular football game. It's evident early on I thought that Phoenix were going to be the stronger side in the game. We saw the opposition in the bar beforehand, not drinking, I might add. And they were very young and very small. But as I also said, compared to me, most people are quite small and all look very young. Once Phoenix got in front through Ryan Hayes, I think I always felt a bit comfortable about the game. I didn't think that Oxy might have it in them to come back. But, you know, it's football's football. But I was actually quite calm for it, through it. Okay, maybe not when Sam Denham pulled one back for Oxy when they were 2-0 down with about 15 minutes to go. But once Alfie, and a shout out to his mum, who I hope is listening to this, Alfie Evans' goal, nice finish, very nice finish, to make it 3-1, calmed all the nerves down, and it was pretty comfortable to see out from them. Each club is different. Oxy were young, the youngest side I think I've seen in non-league football. They're very spirited, they did keep going. They've already taken a place in my soft spot area. I just really like the club and the way it was organised. The bar staff were superb, as I said. The clubhouse was really good. That's so important to clubs at this level and these levels, and it's a credit to them. And I know that the Phoenix staff were pretty complimentary towards them and very appreciative of the facilities. The ground is rudimentary, but this is non-league football. We're not asking for huge, great, wonderful stadiums. But I loved it, actually. I stood behind both goals for the ends that Phoenix were attacking. And it was a really, really decent experience. Lovely weather, quite warm. It could be being nearer to Carpenters Park Station. I couldn't get the coach home. I was an evening out in London that night. So I had to get to the station. That felt like a long old walk, that. It only said 10-15 minutes, I think, on the map. But no, really good. The metalwork, we had a bit of a discussion about it. They seemed to have very thin goalposts, but then we hit them four times. So I'm not sure if there's any science involved in this. It doesn't seem to be to me. Joe Denny, for example, the new signing from Herne Bay, I think, he hit the... You've got to think of it as a post or the bar. I think it was the post, actually. Very early in the game. Even Alfie Evans clanged a header off the bar, but I think we scored from the rebound on that one, or reprocess it out. I was thinking on the train yesterday morning, when I was thinking putting the script for this together, who was the man of the match, and I thought long and hard over this. Probably Ryan Hayes, actually. His nerve-settling goal to put this one up. A majestic free kick that directly led to the third, which hit the bar and come out, and then recycled the ball and Alfie scored. Another cracking effort that was pushed over in the early moments, which clipped the bar on the way over. And there's one particular moment where he puts this cross in a very, very tight area with his wrong foot. A real quality cross as well. I just thought that was, you know, one of the more, you know, decent moments of the game. Also close in there was Joe Denny. Tom Cousins always plays well for me, I think. And of course Alfie. But it was a good game, and I don't really think there was any poor performances from the lads. It's just another, you know, good win. Luke Leppard, my favourite player probably at Phoenix, was pure Luke. I absolutely have him as my favourite player because of his attitude. I know I shouldn't have favourites, but it's like asking me whether, you know, I like my current Border Collie or my previous Border Collie more. He did miss a great chance at the end. Sorry, Luke, for saying that. But he also played a very important part in setting up the first goal by recycling the ball back for Ryan. He's also a right royal pain in the backside to defenders, and I absolutely love it. There's one moment where he goes in on two people, which are is just pure Luke. It's great to talk on the coach over there. I was sat next to Grads, the assistant manager. I think that's his title. Poor sod had to put up with me for an hour or so, but it was a great conversation. Actually, I learnt a lot. I was also made to sign an imaginary confidentiality agreement, so you're not going to get the inside scoop on anything like that. But it was also good to speak to all the other guys that day. Phil is brilliant as always, gives me the team sheet and gave me feedback on the podcast, as quite a few others have done at the club. And yeah, it was also good to see Alf. I haven't seen Alf this season. He's the club, I think it's club secretary. Housey, Vince, Chairman Andrew, and his great dad Roy was a really good guy to talk to. And my usual partners in crime at Phoenix, the Sullivans, and Dave and his boys. We all stood behind the goal, even with that awful air horn, which as I made my feelings quite clear about that. But anyway, the next round we've got Tunbridge Wells. They beat Chipstead 2-1. Tunbridge Wells have been a little bit chippy, sorry for the pun, on the Twitter recently by saying, "Oh, I noticed you didn't think that we were even playing Chipstead in this round. It's that you were going to be playing Chipstead in the next round." I had that on my diary at work, so on my calendar. So I don't know what happened there, but yeah, we're going down to Tunbridge Wells Saturday week. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good game. They're playing. I think they've started the season quite well. So overall, great day. Regret I couldn't get the coach right back when everyone was doing their karaoke or their singing along as part of the initiation. You absolutely know I would have been up there. The clue of the song I might have thought about singing, which is the first one I ever sang in karaoke, is on the title of this blog post. So that's why that's there. Anyway, Perez was acknowledged as the best by people I've spoken to. And Calvin claims he was. So, yes, I wish I'd been there. Bit of a shame. Anyway, before looking forward to next weekend's fixtures, and this is the bit where I'm going to try and do a memory each week, is my journey down memory lane for this week. I'm going back to the 5th of January 1982. Millwall had won through their second round of the FA Cup at Dagenham on the 30th of December. It seems really weird to me that you played an FA Cup tie between Christmas and New Year, but those were the days, my friend. One of the scorers of that in that Dagenham victory, by the way, was one Sam Allardyce. And apparently I think a wall collapsed as well. I still remember a wall collapsing, possibly, but no one was badly hurt. I think I might add quickly. Anyway, as we got through that round, we were a third division club at the time, we got to face second division Grimsby Town. I think Millwall had played Grimsby a couple of seasons before when I think it might have been a relegation, or it might have been Grimsby went up, but they were on Match of the Day, and I always remember that being a very, very big deal. So, yeah, Grimsby, okay. So we got them in the third round of the cup, and to be fair, you know, possible tie, possible winnable tie. That weren't going very well, I think, in the second division, but yeah, got a shout. Anyway, we went in at half time 1-0 up with the human police siren, Dean Neal. If you say it quickly enough, too many times, it sounds like a police siren. Bad joke, that one. Dean Neal had put us 1-0 up, and we went in at half time, and seems good. Now I have a mantra in football: we are never more dangerous than when you go in 1-0 up at half time. We lost 6-1. Another year, another set of dreams over. By the end of that game, the derision poured down from the den. It was absolutely. I think we even clapped the sixth goal because we were just so fed up with it. I was only, what was I, in my early teens, I think. I wasn't quite even there yet. Yeah, the goal scorers, if I remember rightly, well, I've looked them up, so I don't remember them rightly, but I do remember Keith Brolly scoring because I thought it was a wonderful name. But he scored two. Kevin Drinkle scored two. Cumming, actually, might have been Cumming scored two. And Keith, so I've got to check this up now. And Trevor Weimarker, I remember obviously playing for Ipswich. The night wasn't a complete dead loss, though. At half time, according to the Grimsby site, when I was looking up some of the data for this, the Grimsby message board, it said that a schoolboy signed his first professional forms at half time for Millwall that day. He turned out to be half decent, really. He went on to win 51 England caps. He scored 11 goals for England. Two of those were in Euro 96. He scored an equalising goal in a Champions League final. And he's definitely the best Millwall player I have ever seen. And also, he's one half of the reason for the naming of my border collie, which must be the proudest moment of his life, as far as I'm concerned. Yep, Teddy Sheringham signed for Millwall that day. So it wasn't a dead loss. Anyway, ever since that time, Grimsby has always brought flashbacks of that 6-1 defeat. Under the mighty tutelage of Peter Anderson, a legend at Millwall. Not. Within a couple of years, he'd gone. We got George Graham in. And the rest, as they say, is history and things changed around. But, yep, Grimsby. Anyway. So going back to the scaffold, and what are we seeing this week? Well, this weekend, Phoenix are off to Chatham Town's home ground to meet Wellington in our second scaffold fixture of the season. Welling lost their opening game at Rusthall 4-1 and then went out of the FA Cup last week at the hands of Sutton Athletic and Arlie Desange. And so, yep, they're not in a great run of form. There is a couple of things I've heard on the day trip to North West London last week. A little bit of a connection between the two clubs, between Phoenix and Welling. Lots of ex-players and management team links. I think both sides will be really keen, as always, but extra keen to see their team get one over on the others with all those little interline rivalries. Wellington finished 15th last season, so bottom half of the table. Without coming over all sort of presumptive or whatever, I think this is a game that Phoenix will definitely look to be a winning one. They obviously can't be affording to lose points very early in this season, what could be a very competitive league. But victories, as we are going to see, and I think the way Phoenix play, are going to be hard to earn, and so nothing to be taken for granted. I listened to the Kent Football podcast. I quite like that. It's really good stuff, actually. I was amazed at post-match interviews after the Erith Town game, actually. I don't genuinely like managers' interview being viewed afterwards, but there was a little bit too much, I don't know. I don't think I've heard anyone say Phoenix are going to win the league. Let's put it that way. I've seen Steve say that his view is that that's a target. Of course it is. You start the season wanting to win the league. But I don't think anyone's going out saying we are going to win the league. I think everybody acknowledges at the club that it's going to be a hard-fought campaign, and that there's no certainty. You've got to earn what you get. But to hear the Erith coach afterwards, I thought we were disrespecting everybody. I just think it's quite strange. I mean, I put Glebe as the favourites, and then probably Deal next, and then possibly ourselves, Whitstable, Erith and Belvedere, and I haven't watched Erith play. Erith. But there may be other surprises. Punjab, for example, are getting a lot of good noises, and people are saying, they've really improved their team this year. Who knows what Rustle are capable of? They've had a very good start to the season. Sutton Athletic, you can't, winning your first game 4-1. Lots to discuss, and it's what the beauty of this league is. Anyway, elsewhere in the scaffold on Saturday, I'm intrigued by the Erith v Rustle game, because I think Erith might come out on top of that. I'd have no feel for what Rustle are like, but Erith were a very decent side, and I thought they were very enjoyable to watch. Rustle, as I said, won 4-1 on the opening day. And Erith are aggrieved and feeling a bit robbed from the Phoenix game, so it's going to be an interesting tussle, that one. Punjab United, as I say, attracting a lot of whispers, or maybe even louder than whispers. Meet Deal Town, that is a really interesting fixture. Deal having beaten Glebe in the first week of the season. It's a good pointer going forward in these early days to see what's going to happen. Glebe will hope to bounce back against Lordswood, and Sutton Athletic go to Bearsted. I honestly do not know anything about either of those three teams. I'm trying to get my knowledge up, but it's going to take a little bit of a while. Another interesting one for me is Tunbridge Wells, who will be playing Whitstable. Tunbridge Wells, our cup opponents, Whitstable, who came down from the Isthmian South East. That's quite a good gauge. But also, I'm not quite sure Canterbury City are playing, but I noticed they got absolutely slaughtered in the FA Cup last night by Newhaven, 10-0. And we look to see how that's going to be, because we play Canterbury in about 3 weeks' time in the FA Vars. 2.5 weeks, I think. Next midweek, if I don't get to do a podcast in between, there's some midweek fixtures, including my eyes, the big one for Phoenix, which is against Glebe on Wednesday night. Trying to get my brother to come along to that one. And also Rustall versus Punjab United looks quite tasty. I might try to get a podcast up, but it does take a while to put these together. So I hope you don't get too mad at me. I do have another game to go to next Tuesday, not in the scaffold, which segues me into the Isthmian League, which starts this weekend. And good luck to Cray Valley Paper Mills on their quite long trip for this league to Ramsgate on Saturday. Ramsgate managed by ex-Millwall scorer at Chelsea for us, Steve Lovell. I watched that game last year at Cray Valley Paper Mills, where the Millers absolutely duffed up Ramsgate 4-1. Excuse me for the motorbike going past my door outside. I think it was in March or April. It was definitely a very nice day anyway. I fear for Paper Mills a little bit, because I think they've lost a few key players, especially Marcel Barrington, but I'm sure the Millers would disagree with me, and it'd be interesting to see how they pan out on Saturday. It can be quite a test. But I will be going down there on Tuesday night if anyone's interested in meeting up or whatever. If you want to be in my area, in the area of South East London, I do hope to be there for the East Grinstead game. East Grinstead, who I saw twice last year against Phoenix, beat us both times. So that's going to be Tuesday night at the Arctic Stadium. The Isthmian Premier also kicks off this weekend with two games I'm keeping my eye on, being Cray Wanderers' visit to Billericay Town and Horsham at Canvey Island. Good luck also to Herne Bay. Got a very nice follower on Twitter, Herne Bay supporter. They play Potters Bar Town away on Sunday. Good luck, mate. Hope it goes well for you. Lastly, for this podcast, I'm going to have a look down in the Wessex League in Hampshire. The move so far going quite smoothly, touch wood. Let's hope no big things go in the way for me. And how I'm going to cover all the bases when I go down there, I really don't know. But anyway, the two Andover teams that I keep an eye on at the moment to see which one might catch my eye when I get down there. New Street won their first league game of the season, then followed that up with a really good 2-0 away win in the FA Cup at Warminster. They play their second game of the season against Fawley Town, which I seem to remember for being an energy unit down there. Anyway. Andover Town opened their campaign with a 4-2 win over Hamsworthy Recreation. Thankfully, that Hamsworthy team are not a West Ham tribute club. And Andover Town travel to Petersfield Town this weekend. At present, these are just abstract team names. I've not seen anything about their football until I get more familiar with the league. Andover Town look like they are playing a local derby against Whitchurch, assuming that's Whitchurch in Hampshire, next Tuesday. But I've got a lot of research to do, and when I move down there I'll probably do it. But at the moment these are just names, but I'm going to keep an eye on them because I just love the fact there's so many leagues that you can look at and watch in non-league football. Anyway, I've done all the damage I can do here, in the words of Keith Olbermann. I just want to say a few things at the end that are actually more personally important. If you know me at all, you'll know that I can suffer from some mental health issues. I don't want to overplay them, but for many years I was a typical male. I didn't believe they existed. It was mind over matter, get on with it, pick yourself up, etc, etc. But yeah, you know, life has always got ups and downs and so on and so forth. But in recent years I've recognised this as pretty much nonsense. I had one of those monster slumps beginning of this week. Not going to go into the reasons why, but they are very good reasons. And my illogical brain took over the logical. My logical brain at this point would shut the window so that motorbike doesn't go past. But anyway, this is all one take. I don't hide the mental health issues. In fact, I'm very open with it with my work colleagues. Sometimes I think to my disadvantage, but I think it's important to share what you do. And on Twitter, there are a few tweets that reflected where I was. I sometimes do this, I sometimes don't. But it's not a great thing to do, to put your problems on Twitter. But sometimes it works out. And it worked out this week, I've got to be honest. I'd like to thank a number of people at the end of this podcast. I'd like to thank my wife, of course, who's just absolutely brilliant with these things. She's with me with these issues now for quite a few years. I don't want to just so it goes without saying, but it does need to be said. My brother, who I had a great conversation with on Tuesday and helped sort me out and put my thoughts in process and so on and so forth, and I really want to get him down to a non-league game because I think he'll love it. And this motorbike's getting on my nerves outside. So yes, to Paul, thanks a lot, mate. I really, really valued what we did. To my Millwall friend Dan, I went out for a meal with him on Tuesday night. I thought it was horrible timing at the time, but it actually turned out to be the best, and we had a really good night out. Though Thai Ab seems to have gone up hugely in price. But to a few others who reached out on Twitter, most notably Billy and Claire from Phoenix, thank you very much. That's really nice of you, especially Billy's words. Really touched by that. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. Please bear with me when these things happen. I can make some pretty silly statements online about giving everything up, etc., etc. But if things do go wrong and stuff, this is the sort of thing I will take down and not do for a bit, just to get back in order. I said in the past, I've also had offers, I know, from Ryan as well, down in Holsworth, to talk through it. I do appreciate anybody who helps me out with these things. It's just massively important. And to everybody, I say, if you have those issues, try to share them with mates and friends and so on and so forth. It really, really helps. Don't keep them to yourself. Look, that was my little preachy bit at the end on the mental health stuff. I feel a lot better now. I've had a really good week going out and seeing people. Last night, meeting two cricket journalists from my old cricket blog and my co-writer, Chris. So it's been, I am fortunate. I've got lots of good friends and lots of people that look after myself and keep me going. Anyway, thanks for listening. That's the most important thing. I hope you got to the end of this. Oh, it's 26 minutes. I hope to be under half an hour, so not bad. I really got good feedback last time, and I hope you enjoy listening to this. It's a bit of a ramble, I know, but that's what I'm going to do. And if we can synthesize it, and look into add a few new tricks to it, see if I can work out how I can do a phone call through this so I can actually talk to people like Ryan or others. And I'd love to get my brother on this for a podcast, which could be quite interesting. This has been a Dog on a Hill production for Dimitri Old Media. They are made up companies. I just like saying it at the end, but it sounds good, I think. And remember, if you love non-league, it loves you back. This week, more than most, I felt that. Enjoy whatever game you go to this weekend, because they are all really good. I don't care what they say. Anyway, cheery bye, everyone, and have a great weekend.